That's right. Each week I'm joined by our regular correspondent, Professor Ed Blakely from the University of Sydney, to talk to us about what's going on in the land of the free and the home of the brave, our big brother nation, the United States of America. And there's no getting away from it. America has picked its 45th president, and victory, thy name is Trump. After such a divisive campaign, the completely unexpected announcement was met with equal amounts of elation and terror. And Ed joins me on the line now to discuss. Ed, good morning.
Oh, wow. The sun came up again.
Yes, it didn't turn out to be sort of the ushering in of an age of darkness after all. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Yeah, a lot of recriminations going around. Particularly those of us in the media who seem to have gotten it all wrong.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the question that a lot of people have been asking, that that you and I are asking ourselves. How did we get it so wrong?
Well, I think there are a couple things. One of them is we have genuinely entered a new age. And that is an age where the traditional polling of the same people will not work. Think of how we've polled in the past. We polled people who are really well known. They're in a phone book. They are registered in one way or another to vote, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In this election, we had a lot of those people who are the more invisible people voting on both sides, by the way. But the really invisible ones for most of the pollsters were those people who don't live at the same kind of middle class or lower class, middle class neighborhoods, have been traditionally going to the polls. They've been people who have been watching the process, and now they all of a sudden they're engaged in it.
Well, this is the silent majority that a lot of people were kind of dismissing, but yet a lot of Trump supporters were claiming the silent majority would eventually be with Trump.
That's right. And the noisy majority was with Obama, the college kids. But the silent majority didn't get on that bandwagon, and they weren't enthralled with the other candidates because they weren't really options. They were all within the establishment range. One could say what would have happened if Bernie had run. It's run, one doesn't know, because at least from the Democratic and the progressive side, he would have gotten some of that vote, but from the hardcore middle of the Democrats, he was not their candidate.
And Trump himself, Donald Trump himself, has credited social media for handing him the victory. This is probably the first real U.S. election we've seen with the real influence of social media. So what do you make of that as a deciding factor?
I think it's a very big one. Remember, Kennedy won on television.
Yeah, that's
television
right.
Had not been a factor until the Kennedy-Nixon debates. And Nixon didn't look good on television, and Kennedy looked really great. Again, Kennedy did not win the popular vote. He won the electoral vote. Nixon won the popular vote. So the populace somehow figures out that there are some people that they like. And liking's more important than buying, if you understand what I'm saying. They like the package. They like the message. Now, if you unpack that all and said, what is Donald Trump for? Pretty hard to say. You can say some of the things he's against. He's against Mexicans. But all of a sudden, he's not against Mexicans. He's only against those who've been convicted of a crime. Boy, that's going to be hard, because those who have been convicted of a crime, I believe, are already been kicked out of the United States. So we have a man that says whatever he wants to say, and I think that's a big lesson for me. I thought the truth counted.
Yeah, a few people have, in fact, said that we have now entered a post-truth era in politics, and that's really in global politics, but the post-truth era. Let's, though, stick a moment with what Trump has been saying. He's walked back a bit of his rhetoric since the election. The, well, as you mentioned, the Mexican wall, the anti-Muslim ban. He's promised to be a president for all Americans. What's your feeling on just how reliable that might be?
I think that's fairly reliable right now. He wants the riots down, and he wants the Congress to come in at ease. So I don't think he's going to press the hard buttons until he finds out what kind of majority he has in Congress. What is more troubling is if he allows people around him, near him, or in the social media to keep beating up on other folks. He can't control that, and they will be using his name to do it.
There's been kind of a bit of a come to Jesus moment from the Democrats. Obama and Hillary Clinton, they've come out and said, let's give Trump a chance. But other media outlets, it's quite interesting, they've said, no, even though Trump is now in, we should reject this as being normal. This is not normal. And normalizing the behavior that won Trump the presidency, it's only going to do more harm than good. So what's your actual feeling on the divide between right and left America right now?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. And I said last week during our discussions about the election, this was a movement and not a party. Political parties do have to reflect something like a truth, a platform, a program. But if you're in the media business, if you're an entertaining business, you can do pretty much what you want as long as you don't cross certain lines. And what we've unleashed here is this entertainment business, which I think will continue and put out a lot of misinformation that's going to be hard for him to control, and it might spin out of control where he becomes a subject of it. The mainstream media, I think, is very right. They ought to stay where they are, because if they move, people will not know where the truth is.
Mm. And, of course, you mentioned it before, but perhaps the most visible aspect coming out of this, coming out of the rejection of Trump, has been the protests on the street, the anti-Trump activists blocking streets, marching down streets. Now, as an American, I'm sure you've got to feel this on a much more visceral sort of level than I do. So how are you actually feeling about the next 4 years at the moment, the potential damage to your country, regardless of whether Trump settles down or not?
Well, I think that damage, I have three scenarios here. One, the people who are demonstrating are a very small group, and they're going to peter out, much like the Wall Street group. They will lose steam. And when they do lose steam, then the Democrats can really begin the organizing process. And I'd say the Democrats and the progressives. There are a lot of Republicans who don't like this outcome. So that's one scenario. Another scenario, it'll be a bit like the Vietnam War, where these demonstrations become almost a way of life. They demonstrate and demonstrate and demonstrate and demonstrate and move and demonstrate. And that is going to be a very scary thing, particularly if there's an issue like immigration behind it. For example, I can imagine all the churches in California and New York saying we're sanctuaries and daring the federal government to come in. And that could light another Vietnam fuse. The third is that Trump will do the damage himself. He will lash out at these groups and get himself in a bind. And that bind of his own language could undo him, where the Congress won't trust him.
Well, whatever you want to call this new era that we are embarking on, the next 4 years of Trump, I'm sure there's going to be a great deal to talk about, mate. Thank you very much for joining us again this morning, and we'll have to be seeing what we're looking at next week. Could be a whole new world.
I don't know if the sun's going to come up.
Oh, the sun will come up tomorrow. Tomorrow there will be sun. Ed, thank you very much, mate.
Take care, mate. See you next week.